you, all those that are married need to learn these jokes. Ready? What's the difference between in-laws and outlaws? Outlaws are wanted. Okay. Yeah. Someday some of you teenagers will have mother-in-laws. You'll understand. No, I have a wonderful mother-in-law. So and there's no problems there. But the only other joke I know is, well, actually I know two others, but the other one's very lengthy. But this one's very quick. What do you do if you see your mother-in-law slowly staggering towards you? Shoot her again. I hope he's not recording these, but because, to be honest, this sermon is not going to be funny at all, and I figured I might as well make you laugh now, because you're probably going to hate me by the end of the sermon, actually. It's a very sobering message. It just is. About a month ago, God started laying on my heart about just doing a certain study on a certain group of people in the Bible. And so I started doing it, and I've been for 3 weeks just studying these people out of the Bible. And it's sort of, there's over 100 verses in this sermon, so pick and choose what you want. And this sermon is totally pointless, because if I actually put the points down, it would be 31. Okay? But it flows. You'll see how it goes. It's not what you think. It's not your typical thing, but it's a very sobering message. I don't know. I get more convicted out of it, probably more than you will. Hopefully you will too. But if you want to turn to Luke 12, there's your New Testament. As Pastor would say, Genesis, Exodus, Luke. Luke chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 1. And it says in verse 1, Luke 12, verse 1, in the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, and so much that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, and I want you to catch this phrase. It says, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. I, for the last, probably about a month, more intensely in the last 3 weeks, I went through every single verse that has Pharisee in it. There's 12 times in the Bible it says the word Pharisees. There's 85 times it says the word Pharisees, plural, for a total of 97 times. That's just that verse. Now, if you take the context of the verse, probably add about 5 verses to each verse. So you're talking probably about 400 to 500 verses that it talks about Pharisees. And we're just going to go through what the Bible talks about Pharisees. And it was very convicting to me because there's one thing in here that I think we can apply to everybody, because it says the phrase, beware ye, ye is plural, of the leaven of the Pharisees. And I think every one of us, it doesn't take those that cook and bake. I remember, you know, these bread machines that they have, the new ones they have, and you get these little packets of leaven. If you really, I mean, you look at the packages and you think, wow, there must be a lot in there. But then when you open them up and look in them, you're like, wow, there's hardly any leaven. What they use, yeast. Leaven is sort of yeast. You'll notice there's very little yeast that's used to make bread turn from this to this. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ specifically, if you notice, if you have a red letter edition, it's specifically, it's in red, and Jesus said, beware. Because I think every one of us, if we don't watch it, if we don't watch what we're doing, there's a little leaven in every one of us when it comes to being pharisaical. There's a lot. If you don't watch it, we end up becoming our worst enemy, and we don't even know it. Yet we're religious. The Pharisees, you couldn't top the Pharisees. This is only hearsay when I was studying it out. For you to be a Pharisee, you almost, I mean practically, you'd have to memorize Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy. All 5 books of the Pentateuch were literally almost memorized if you wanted to be a Pharisee. They knew the Bible better than you ever could. better than I ever could. But I would never want to be called a Pharisee, would you? But they knew their Bible better than anybody. So with that, let's just begin with a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. Dear Lord, you've been so good to us. I just thank you for another time that we can just open the Bibles and just, dear Lord, see how you apply your word to our hearts. Dear Lord, we all have inadequacies. We all have things that we need to try on. Now, dear Lord, I'm going to be preaching a little more ideal. And dear Lord, even in my own life, I need to find things, areas in my life where I picture what the Pharisees do. And I do what the Pharisees do. And dear Lord, I'm sorry for that. And help us, dear Lord, that we always have in the mind that we can be religious and we can be sincere, but we can be very pharisaical. And dear Lord, help us. I pray that you'd really work in us, help us, that you keep our minds and our hearts open, because there's some things that made me mad. I really didn't want to study the things out, but you know my heart, it helped me. And dear Lord, we just thank you for every opportunity you give us to open up this word and to preach. Pray specifically be with Pastor as he's away. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for the many years, the many blood and the sweat and some things I get to see, and Mr. Brown gets to see, that many people in this church never get to see. Sometimes he's about to cry when some things happen, but we thank you so much for his faithfulness and for the burdens that you put on his shoulders, dear Lord. I just pray that we'd always keep him in prayer. We thank you so much for him. And in your name, amen. Pharisees, it's amazing. Pharisees means one word. The actual word of Pharisees means to separate. That's all Pharisee means. Pharisee means to separate. The first mention in history is by Josephus of 145 B.C. At the time of Jesus Christ, there was three different, you could call them sects or divisions of the Jews of the day. Sort of like today, if you go to a college, you'll either get a conservative teaching or a liberal teaching, or sometimes you'll get communist teaching in between it, but that would be part of the liberal. But, you know, we have pretty much conservatism, liberality, and who knows. But usually that's about what America is like. Now, Jews at the day, if you went to a college then, the colleges were run by the Pharisees and other religious groups. They had three sects. And one of them was not even mentioned in the Bible. It's called Essenes. They were starting at 100 B.C. There's another one which we call the Sadducees, which you see in the Bible. It's amazing, though. I was looking through Sadducees. There's no trace of the Sadducees in history. They believe they came from the Greeks, so it could be. But here's an interesting point about the Sadducees. They are not mentioned whatsoever in the book of John. Isn't that interesting? The word Pharisees is throughout all four books of the Bible, but you will not find Sadducee, which is a different sect. They actually, Sadducees didn't believe in anything. They were skeptics of the day. They'd be like they weren't even agnostics. If they couldn't feel it, touch it, see it, they didn't believe in it. They didn't believe in demons. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in anything. They pretty much said, if you could see it, I believe it. If I can't see it, I don't believe it. And that's the way the Sadducees were. But the Pharisees were the most popular of the day. They were started, of course, we mentioned 145 B.C. They were extremely accurate and minute in all matters concerning the law of Moses. They actually knew pinpoint exactly. When it talked about washing their hands, when it talked about in the Old Testament, they had I think every one of us have ways. You remember when you talk to your kids, now I want you to rub your hands together. You had a certain sequence that you did everything, a certain, I guess the word would be standards that you do things. Well, the Pharisees had a standard for everything. They had a way that they did everything. Even washing their hands, they had to wash all the way up to the elbows. They had to wash all the way down to their fingertips. And they had to do it this way, and then they had to do it this way, and then they had to do this way, and then they come here and do this and do that. And they had a sequence for everything they did. They were so finite in the law. When it came to exactly the way the law was, they would do it to the T and some. And they would do it the same every single time, every single time. They're very, very good. They were actually sound in creed. You might say this is crazy, but Pharisees were sound in creed. They believed, now, do you believe this, the immortality of the soul? Yes. Does your soul live forever? Yes, Pharisees believe that. Do you believe in the resurrection of the body? The Pharisees believe that. Do you believe in the future retribution, which is hell? Do you believe that? Well, so did the Pharisees. Do you believe in messianic expectations? They didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, but they believed in a Messiah. They believed he would come. They just didn't think it was Jesus. They thought it was going to be someone else. Because they didn't understand. They were like, hey, if you're the Messiah, you're going to take the kingdom over, so why aren't you taking the kingdom over? That's why they didn't really like him. Because they thought he's supposed to come and take over. They believed in angels. They believed in spirit. They believed in the doctrine of divine providence and the freedom of man's will. Do you have a choice? They weren't even a Calvinist. They weren't. They believed you have the choice to either do good or do bad, and the choice, you know, it's sort of like we believe in the choice. You either have the choice to get saved or the choice not to get saved. Amen? And I'm glad we believe in the choice. That's what a Pharisee believes in. But their difference was is their separation from the mass of the people. They actually believed separated from the mass of people. I don't know if they named themselves or someone else named them Pharisee. It means to separate. And what the Pharisees were a total sect that actually totally separated from the rest of the world and said, we are the Pharisees. We do things different. We believe in this and this and this. Actually, they're pretty much, they're sounding creed. I'm not kidding. If you probably had a Pharisee sit in the pew today, you'd probably think he was a Baptist. I'm not kidding. In looks. Now, I'm saying in looks. Now, here's the difference, though. If the system of religion was a form and nothing more. The Pharisees actually had a system of religion, but it was just a form. It was just something they did, but it never helped them. It didn't help them at all. Even anybody that was part of the Pharisees, it never helped out anybody. Do you ever notice that? Like, there's so many religions out there, and they have such a big form, but what do to help out anybody with? Nothing. It's almost like... We're actually sort of that way in America. Just being around all the missionaries and everything else, I notice we have a form of religion, but we deny what? The power thereof. We have a form of, we get up, we go to church, we do our church thing, we go home. We do our home thing. Who cares what pastor preach about? Who cares what the Bible talks about? We do our church thing, but there's our home thing. That's what the Pharisees' system of religion was. It was just a form, but it didn't really have any, it wasn't conducive, it wasn't helpful to your life, everyday practical life, at all. And really, if you don't watch it, your Pharisee life becomes what Christianity is today. How many people do you know? How many grew up in the Catholic faith? You just went to church, you did your thing, and you went home. You went here, you did your thing, and went home. It was just a form. It really meant nothing. But Christianity is totally different, isn't it? It's a practical living every day, and it helps you raise your family, helps you raise your kids, helps your marriage, helps leadership, helps everything. It's a practical thing. But see, a Pharisee thing is not practical. It's just a repetitive form. And you would look at them and say, wow, look at them. Look at how they're dressed. They are great people. We're going to get into a lot of the verses, but I want you to understand it. The Pharisees, if you looked at them, you'd think they're great people. You'd think they're godly people. And that's where it convicted me, because I always think myself, you know, how other people see me. I mean, I think it's funny because we once invited some of the teens, like Felicia and Latanya, at our house, and they saw me without a suit on. They're going, whoa, Pastor Seth. You wear jeans! And they were crazy. And they were like, whoa, because all they saw me ever was with a suit on. So they thought, that's just what I do. I go home and I still wear suits. You know what I mean? Because to them, it was a form. They didn't know how practically we were at home. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, the Pharisees were that way. It was a form. It was just a form. If we don't watch out, we can do the same thing. We can have the same doctrine. We can believe the same things. But our Christianity becomes a form and nothing more. It's a tradition. It's all kinds of things. There's only four noted Pharisees in the Bible. There's one called Simon. There's probably about a dozen Simons in the Bible. You'll find him in Luke 7. One of the most famous Pharisees, anybody want to guess? Give you the chance. Nicodemus. Well, and yeah, Saul too. I guess there's two. Nicodemus, he's only mentioned three times in the Bible. You'll see the first time he was mentioned, he visited Jesus by night in John 3. We all know John 3:16, most of us. Became very famous. The second mention, And he met with the Sanhedrin. He opposed the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling power of the day. And he actually went against them and said, hey, don't judge him until you see the end of his works. And they said, come on, check the law. Is anything good come out of Galilee? Well, I don't think they even knew their history because Jonah came from Galilee. And the third one, he was mentioned anointing and burial of Jesus Christ. I really believe that. I think he got saved. Amen. And of course, Paul, we know Paul, even Acts 23:6, if you notice that verse, it says, my father was a Pharisee and I was a Pharisee. If you notice, it ran in the family. And then, of course, the fourth one, Gamaliel, which is in Acts 5:34-39, Acts 22:3, Paul was underneath Gamaliel, which was a Pharisee. But there might be others, but I just didn't see them in the Bible. Human error is always open. But I want you to understand, this is what Jesus called them. Matthew 23:27, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are likened to whited sepulchres. Matthew 3:7, he said, O generation of vipers. Luke 11:44, he said, oh, ye are as graves. Nice names, wouldn't you think? Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They be, I love that, they be blind leaders of the blind. Do you ever hear people say, oh, he's blind leading the blind? That's where the phrase comes from, is the Bible. You might say, well, the Pharisees know the Bible pretty well, but Jesus, he pretty much said, hey, you're hypocrites, you're whited sepulchers, you're vipers, you're graves, you're blind leaders leading the blind. And that's in Matthew 15:14. Jesus had nothing good to say about Pharisees. And I will add in, Jesus has nothing good to say about us when we act like them. I have a feeling when I get to heaven, there's some things that God's going to be like, you had a form, just like the Pharisees. You knew your Bible well, but you had your form. You did your, you know, we did our prayers, we did our thing, but then you go home and your home's different than the Bible. Be careful, because God says, I hate that. Be careful, hey, if rock and roll's not allowed in church, it shouldn't be allowed in your home, amen? The same standards you have for the church should be the same standards for home. But see, the Pharisees were different. It was just a form. Be careful. Because, see, here's the character of the Pharisees, and here's where you can write whatever you want because we're going to go through a lot of this. See, there's a little leaven in all of us. I really believe there is. I believe there's a little leaven in Pharisees. When I sit back and I say, no, not me, but so many times I would have to admit and almost cry and say, oh, the Pharisee that I am. Many times I say, yeah, I'm a good Christian, but then going through all these verses of what the Pharisees did, I say, oh, boy, I do the same thing. We're going to slowly, there's 31 different points. I didn't point them, so it's pointless, but you can put what you want down, what will help you out. But there was a love life. There was something, there are specifically some things in the Bible that it says the Pharisees loved. Now check this out. Luke 11:43 said, woe unto you Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. I want you to understand is they love the best seats in church and they love greetings. They love to be called rabbi. Be careful, because I noticed this out visiting and just talking to other Christians is all I got to say is something like, I say, hey, I'm from Faith Bible Baptist Church, whatever. And they say, what do you do? And I notice with the people, they won't even go to church, but they'll say, oh, yes, I'm a member of such and such church. But do they go? Oh, I'm saved and I'm a member of the church, but do they go? No. Do you understand what that is? They love greetings. They love names. Oh, yes, I'm a Sunday school teacher, but what do you do to help your kids? Oh, yes, I'm a junior church worker. Oh, I'm assistant pastor as me. We have to watch out where we love the greeting. We love the my position. I'm an ordained man of God. That means I can marry and bury. That's about it. But be careful. The Pharisees love names. Well, I'm this. I'm that in the church. What's that matter to God? How are you helping people? Unfortunately, sometimes we get so used to, well, I'm this and I'm this in the church. I've been a member of the church for 23 years. Okay, what are you doing for God? Well, I go to church. You're a member. Oh, that's good. What do? Be careful, because Pharisees, they didn't like to do anything, but they love to be called things. Yes, I'm a rabbi. And they love to be called rabbis and fathers, and that's where Jesus said, don't call anybody father. But that's what the Pharisees liked. They liked the name. Be careful when you get in your Christian life when you like the name. I'm a Christian. Ha ha. You're a Muslim. I'm better than you. Does that really matter? Does it? It doesn't at all. But unfortunately, we like the name. We like the greetings. I'm this, I'm that. Be careful, that's what Pharisees like. They like the best seats in the church. Matthew 23:6 says, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts. It says they like the best rooms at the parties and the chief seats in the synagogues. And they like the most popular seats in the church. Boy, that would be awesome just to sit up here. It's a lot more humbling than you think because you got to look out there and then you're like, you know, and you get all nervous and everything else. Hey, I've known a lot of people that, remember how Pastor talked about one man, I don't even know who the man was, but remember he was preaching about someone that could say, Pastor, God called me to preach, brother, and let me preach. And he would never let him preach because he wouldn't do anything in the church. Do you remember that story? It was a couple months ago and when he was preaching. He says, God's really wants me to be a preacher. He wants me to do this. The guy wanted a position. He just wanted to be behind here. And ha, I'm here. I can do what I want. But be careful. It's a very humbling thing to be, you know, some people always say, I wish I could be a father with kids. But it's very humbling once you have kids and you notice, boy, if they go wrong, it's my fault. Boy, if I had my own family, I know how I would. I wouldn't, you know, I'm doing different than that family. Oh, my family would be better. We like the popularity, but then when we get the kids, how are you going to raise them? It's very humbling. It's not what you think it is. So be careful, because we have tendencies that we act like the Pharisees. They love the best seats. They love the best rooms. They love the greetings. They love the popularity, and above all, John 12:43 says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Be careful. John 12:43 says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Be careful when you say, well, no one ever cares about me. I've been doing this ministry forever, and no one ever says anything about it. I quit. Most people quit because no one's praising them. No one's doing this. I know we all like it, but there's many things in life you might as well, especially young people, you might as well learn to do things without people praising you. Do you ever notice the best worker in the workforce is the one that you don't have to applaud? The boss doesn't have to applaud you constantly. Say, hey, you're doing a great job. And he goes, oh, good, he's doing a good job. Yes, I guess I'll keep on going, because there's many times no one's going to applaud you. No one's going to be putting your hand in the back saying, great job. Many times you're going to just have to plug along, go and go and go, and the only way you're going to get encouraged is by God. But be careful when you want the praise of man. And you say, boy, I wish I could get up in front and pastor would say, well, look at this man. He's been in this ministry for so many years. I've been working in the nursery for 10 years and he's never told me that he appreciated my work. I've been in this and I've never been told this. I've been in this for 20, 15 years. And then, see, you just want the praise of man. But what's better, the praise of God or praise of men? I believe probably most of my rewards will be deleted. I praise God that there's 32,000 tracks that are given out by the teens. But I'm not going to use it as a way to get your praise. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I want to go to heaven someday and say, that's all to your glory. That's your glory, God. Unfortunately, we want to say, hey, look what I did. It wasn't for me. I'm telling you, they give out 5 tracks. But we have that attitude. If it wasn't for me, and we want the praise. Look what I did. But be careful, that's what the Pharisees love. They want people to say, look at me. Praise me. Instead of saying, no, let God praise you. Because I don't want to stand before God, and God just looks at me and just puts his head down and is ashamed of me because I was ashamed of him. Be careful. They paid tithes of everything, but forgot weightier matters. Matthew 23:23 says, "Once you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have to done, and not leave the other undone." Here's the problem about a Pharisee. They have a bad love life, but you know what? Pharisees tithe everything. I hope that everybody in this room tithes, and I hope you do, because if you don't, you're just bringing a curse on your life. The Pharisees were so known for tithing, they even tithe their herbs. That's what that is. They pay tithe of mint, that's an herb. Anise, it's an herb. Cumin, it's an herb. They tithe their herbs. You think, that's absurd. But I want you to notice one thing. Jesus said, these ought ye have to done, but they leave the other undone. They tithe and do the things that people, what, see. Hey, look at me, I tithe. Look at me, I donated this. Look at me, I did something we can see. But the one thing God said, you know, that's a good thing, and you ought to do that. You need to tithe. And I'm telling you, you all need to tithe. But he said, but be careful. You omit the weightier measures of law, judgment, mercy, faith. It even goes on in Luke 11:42. It says, Passover judgment and the love of God. It says, yeah, you do all the physical things. You tithe, you do all the things, but you forget about love. You forget about mercy. If we don't watch it, we can say, hey, I go to church. I put my tithe in. I sing the songs. I do everything. But then we complain when a bus kid comes in. And we see he's disrupting. Why did we even bring those brats in here? Is that love? But we say, hey, I give tithes to this church, so I have the right to run it. No, you don't. Who are you reaching for God? Here's a good test for you. Pharisees tithe everything, but they didn't reach anybody. Who are you reaching? See, they say, hey, we've dotted our I's, crossed our T's, but they didn't reach anybody. They weren't loving people. They weren't having mercy on people. They didn't care about people. Do you get the picture? Jesus said, you do everything right, and these things you need to do, but you don't care about love. You don't care about reaching people. You just care about your former religion. Every one of you should have someone, at least one or two people, should be somebody you're reaching. Do you know why? Do you know why there's like, what is it? I had it in the missions update last month. There's like 20,000 missionaries in the next 10 years are coming off the field, only about 3,500 going on. Did you notice like, what is it? I'm probably getting this wrong, but there's probably 800 synagogues and Muslims that are going off by about who knows how many independent churches are closing their doors. As a matter of fact, at my mom's church that she goes to, there's another pastor and his wife actually became members of their church because they closed their church down because no one was attending. And that's in Ohio. That's in the Bible Belt. There's a Baptist church in every corner. Believe me, there is. I grew up with it. Now, I want you to understand, the Pharisees, they did everything right, but they weren't reaching people. We're losing the battle because, really, if you don't have a person in the corner of your mind that you're trying to reach, then you're no better than a Pharisee. Pharisees didn't reach people. They just had a form of godliness. You need to find somebody you can reach. Even little kids can reach somebody. Even we can reach our neighbors or try, give the seed out. Like my mother-in-law said, hey, there was someone we saw and we just tried. Gave out a little seed here and there. We're trying to reach somebody. But we all need to reach somebody, because if you don't watch out, if you don't care about it, all you care about is what you do at church, and you don't even care about reaching people. Because the Pharisees didn't care about reaching people. They just cared about the physical things they could do that people saw because they wanted the pat on the back. They were proud. We don't have to go over that. But in Luke 18:10-12, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. Said, look at me, I'm a great person. Be careful when you think you're better than a snot-nosed little kid that comes in. I don't dislike disturbances, but I do know this one thing is, Pastor even talked about it today, you know, how do you do preach and there's no disturbancing? You know what, what's this proverb say? It's better with the ox, you know, the clean, because the ox is, you have to clean the crib because the ox is making a mess. I've been in dead churches. I've seen them where nothing happens. The same people show up, the same people go home. I've seen it. And I'm telling you what, you'd rather have the disturbances, you'd rather have some of these kids that don't know how to act because you're trying to reach people than to have a dead form of religion where you come in and you leave. You come in and you leave, and it's great. But you're not reaching anybody. So be careful when you get to the point when you're the one that's criticizing. Ha! Huh, man, Mr. Evans has a lot to clean up on a Monday, and I am, thank God for it. Because you know what that means? We're active. Once we stop being active, you become very pharisaical. And I'm thank God for that. I mean, I don't even like some of the things I have to put up with the teens. I get yelled at one week, they love me, the other week, they hate me. But I like it because it's life. I don't want to be dead. I want to be reaching out to people. I want to be reaching. And I don't care if I have to put up with people that swear and everything else, but hey, God got me where I was and used me as where I was and let me grow. We need to be reaching people. They make mountains out of molehills. Some of these we won't talk about it, but very much. But Matthew 23:24, it says, "Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Pharisees make mountains out of molehills. Do you understand that a gnat, which is a fly, you could put 1,000 adults gnats weigh less than 1 ounce. The average camel weighs 1,200 to 1,500 pounds. Okay? It says you strain at a gnat. That means you could put 1,000 of them together equals 1 ounce. And you swallow a camel, which is about 1,500 pounds. Do you notice how weird that sounds? It's saying a gnat is so small and so minute. And you're worried about it while you swallow a big giant camel. It's sort of like this when we, you know how those odds, my teens don't well, I died to death. I say weird things all the time. But I love it. But it's funny how they'll remember those kind of weird, petty things, but they won't remember the big things. Do you notice how you remember the petty things in life? Well, why do you say that to me? Or why do you do that? Why did that person do this? And you strain at little, tiny, petty things, but you swallow a problem. You go, it's like this, saying, well, I just can't, you know, it really bugs me. Pastor's thing was like this. I couldn't stand it. I don't even know if I want to go back to church because that just aggravated me. And then you go home and put in an X-rated movie and say, oh, that's a cool movie. Hey, that's cool. And you come to church and tell someone about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You worry about this little thing, but then you go home and you swallow a camel. But if you don't watch out, that's what Pharisees do. Be careful how you act and how you... Be careful that small things bother you to the point that you get all aggravated, but sin doesn't bother you. You go home and you don't even care about sin. You don't even care about the worldly things. But, oh, you care about those little tiny things in church. Be careful, because Pharisees care about that. They really do. They make clean the outside. It says, won't you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Matthew 22:25, Luke 11:39, and the Lord said to them, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Be careful when all you're worried about is the outside, and it does matter what it looks like on the outside, amen? It does matter. Men see the outside. People see the outside. But if that's all you're worried about, be careful, because that's all the Pharisees worry about, just the outside. You ever... And I'm not picking on anybody, but do you ever notice, I remember growing up in high school, there was always the pretty girls, and you always thought they look so nice until you talk to them. And you're like, wow, is she dumb? You know, because Some of you understand what I'm talking about is you look at the outside and go, wow, they look intelligent and they dress intelligent. And then you talk to them and you're like, they got to work on the inside because they're just not with it. You know what I mean? Well, you got to be careful when on the outside you look great, but your heart is far from God. Be careful when all you worry about is your outside. And your outside, that's it. You never work on your heart. Because we do need to work on our outside, we do. But at the same time, we do need to work on our heart. They make short-lived preachers. The average preacher lasts 18 months in a church. That's to the United States Postal Service. But Luke 11:46, actually Matthew 23:29 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous." Luke 11:47 says, "Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them." You know what it was saying? Saying, you Pharisees, you kill the preachers. Maybe you say, well, I don't kill the preachers, but be careful. You don't know what Pastor Cole goes through in a normal day. There's a lot of preachers that can't take, I understand the pressure. I'm not as emotional, I guess you could say. That's why I've trained myself not to be too emotional, even though there's certain ways I'm very emotional in when it comes to soul and stuff like that. But when it comes to the, and I have to watch out, because when it comes to criticism, I almost get my emotion to the side. And I have to watch out because then I could be prideful and say, just don't let it affect me. But it should affect me because you can learn from any criticism. And I think I struggle with that today still. But I want you to understand, a typical preacher gets crushed under criticism. And a normal congregation makes a pastor leave. I'm just saying, overall in America, you have a wonderful pastor. You have a pastor beyond what you can even imagine. If you go in the area where my mom and I grow up, we were just talking about this last night. Most pastors do not pastor anymore. They just preach. That's all they do. They just preach. They don't guide. They don't teach. They don't lead. They don't do anything. They just get up in the morning, preach, and that's it. And we were talking about that last night. And so that's the problem with America, because most of the preachers, they think all pastoring is amen, praise God, you know, and they do this great, oh, that was a great sermon. But they don't pastor at all. They don't do anything all week long. And I'm not kidding. I could take you to some churches that the pastor does nothing all week long. He doesn't help people. He's not counseling people. He doesn't do anything, but he's ready for the sermon on Sunday. And I said, that's the problem with America right now, because most of the preachers, they're not pastoring. And once you start pastoring, then you have all the problems and everything else. And sometimes the burdens become very, very hard. Very, very hard. But you have a wonderful preacher that's not just a preacher, he's a pastor. Did you ever notice? He's probably the best pastor you'll ever see. And I'm not kidding. And I've been under Dr. Malone, and I've been under some other people, and I've talked to Jack Hiles, and just only maybe 5 minutes, and I got to help pick up Brother Seitler when I was at Bible college. I got to talk to some great men, but there's something amazing about Pastor Cole. I'm serious. There's something amazing about it. His pastoral. He's a very great pastor. Don't you make the death of him, okay? Pharisees want to kill him. They like to kill preachers and prophets. Okay? Also, Pharisees in Luke 11:46, we're not making a lot of headway here, make burdens for others but won't help them. And he said, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." In Luke 11:46. Be careful. What is the law of Christ? That we bear one another's burdens. What does the Pharisee do? Lays burdens, doesn't bear burdens, makes burdens. Be careful when your whole life becomes making burdens. That's like this. Every time you see someone, you give them a whole litany of what bad goes on your whole week long. And all you do is lay burdens and make more burdens and make more burdens and make more. Oh, and you go on and on and on. And people are like, they don't even want to tell you how are you doing because they don't really want to know the answer. If you know what I mean? Because they're a burden to be around. You ever been around someone that's a burden to be around? Because they make burdens. Instead of saying, hey, brother, can I pray with you? How are you doing? Wow, that's really, hey, let me pray with you. Hey, is there something I can help you out with? Or maybe I can find someone I can help you out with. Instead of saying, brother, brother Priori, I'm just telling you, my life is such a wreck. And then you say, when you're done with him, well, I better not do that. And then you go over to Vicky Porter and you tell them your burden. Then you go over and you sort of, what do? You make burdens. You make them and make them, and everybody's thinking, wow, what a problem that person has. Instead of bearing one another's burdens, you make them. That's what a Pharisee does. And what does a Pharisee does? He makes burdens. And it's sort of interesting. But he says, but ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. He's saying he won't even help out. This is like this. He would say, Renee, you know what? That necklace is not good. I think if you're going to wear something, it only should be a certain this and this and that. Your earring should look like this and this. And I'm telling you, what you're wearing right now is not right, and you shouldn't do that. And you're putting a burden on her. You've got to be, if you're not going to look that way, don't even show up to church because I'm tired of this because you really look bad. But don't ask me how to help you. You just need to do it. Do you see what I'm saying? But if we don't watch it, we do that to people, though. What's with that person? I wish they'd just get better. Why don't we help them out? Instead of saying, what's with that kid? What's with that lady? There's some of you that have testimonies. You've been in other churches, and no one will help you. You've been in other churches where you try to talk, and no one wants cares to help you. They don't want to. Be careful that our church becomes that way where someone comes in and we say, we don't want that kind of people in our church. It's like we're saying, you don't act right, you don't do this right, and you know you need to be like this, adding burdens onto them and saying, but I won't help you out, though. Don't ask me to help you out. You know, I'm glad you're here, but don't ask me to pick you up. Be careful, because that's what Pharisees do. They fast. They look for signs. That sort of like, well, I know pastor wants help in the church, but you know, God really hasn't sat on my bed and told me. But it's the truth, though. Pharisees will only do things if they see a sign for it. And it's, I mean, then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to thee but the sign of prophet Jonas. It said, hey, you know what? We'll do what you're saying if you just show us a sign. How many in this room say, you know, I would love to get involved in the church if God would just show me. What's he need to show you? Really? What does he need to show us? He doesn't need to show us anything. He's got the Bible. You just need to do something for God. Do something. You know, this would flip. I mean, pastor is very athletic. I bet he could still do a flip. He'd probably flip backwards if you went up to him and said, Pastor, is there anything I can do to help out the church? He'd probably flip out. He'd be like, well, because most of the time, what's he doing? Hey, I got this ministry. Would you help out? Could you do this? Could you do that? Could you do that? Because what is he trying to do? Getting you the minister. Very rarely does someone ever come up to him and say, whoa, I even try to do that with the teenagers. I try to assign teenagers on teenagers. Say, if they're not here, why don't you call them? Why don't you do this? Can we ever take the initiative just to do something without a sign or without someone saying, can you do this? The initiative and motivation, you know, we'd double this church if just two or three people did that without initiation. Say, I love this. I'm not trying to pick on any teen, so don't think. But they always call me up and say, can I bring a friend to the activity? Yeah. But I think they need my okay to bring a friend. But that's what the Pharisees do. They look for a sign. I'm looking for a sign. Once I see this sign, then I definitely will do something for God. Do you need a sign? Do you need permission? No. Be careful in your pharisaical life, where you have to be asked to do something. Because that's all Pharisees did. They wouldn't do anything unless, well, if God did this great thing, then I know it's from God. And definitely I will look into these matters. You know, and then there's their lip service. Heart is far from God. Matthew 4:15-8 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Pharisees have very much lip service, but their heart is far away. How many times do we say we will pray for someone, but we don't? How many times do we dwell on a sermon? By the time we go home and we turn on the TV, we won't even think about what is said tonight. If I even asked, I'd hate to even see the answer. What did pastor talk about this morning? Some of you would actually take time to think, what did he preach about this morning? Because you never thought about it until probably I asked. But it's the truth, though. I am guilty all the time. People ask me, what did pastor preach about? I'm going, oh, because I am guilty of being a Pharisee. I do a lot of lip service, but I'm not sincere. They fear people. Matthew 21:46 says, but when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Be careful when you fear what the world will do to you. I like Felicia told me that she worked kulas to a public school, and she said it was the funniest thing she ever did in her life. Because she said, I've never been picked on in my life as bad it was that time. But I think that's neat because she didn't fear the multitude, but she did what was right. But how many things do we do because we fear the multitude? Well, not everybody prays. I've seen people embarrassed to pray at a restaurant. And they've gone to church all their life because they fear other people looking at them. So they do this. I say, okay, guys, let's pray. And they'll do this. And then I'll at the corner of my eye, you know how you look up, and then I'll say, amen. And they'll go, amen. You know, like they were praying the whole entire time. But they weren't because they feared the multitude. Pharisees fear people. They love power. Matthew 23:2, saying the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They just love power. Matthew 23:3. This one is powerful. It says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe. Saying, hey, can you believe Jesus said this? He's saying, whatever the Pharisees bid, he said, observe. That observe and do. He's saying, hey, their tithing is right. Tithe. What they wear is right. Wear it. Observe it. Do it. But he says, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. Jesus said, observe them in certain things, but other things do not be like a Pharisee. They say things like, you know, brother, I prayed for you, and I did this and I did that, but they don't do anything what they say. Be careful in your Christian life where you do a lot more talk than your walk. Be careful when you, I hate to even say, but how many hours of prayer is there in a week in your house? How many minutes? How many seconds? But we talk the talk. Oh, yeah, we talk it well, but we don't read our Bibles. We don't pray. We say we love the world, but how many of us even try to soul win? How many even try to give out tracts? Jesus said, watch them. They say, but they don't do it. They say they want to reach the world, but they don't do it. Be careful. That's what a Pharisee is. They hinder people in getting saved. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entered to go in. It's saying you hinder people from getting saved. The worst thing I hate in the world is when I'm out soul winning and good Christian people stop the conversation. You ever been there, those that go soul winning? It's sickening. I'll sit there and try to talk to them about the Lord, and they'll say, hey, how's the wedding doing? Blah, blah, blah. And you're going, this guy's going to die, and we need to tell him the gospel, and you won't even let me talk about God. We hinder. Well, I just don't want to embarrass them, you know? They're my relative. How many times do we hinder someone that's trying to witness? I hope we are not that. They take advantage of widows. They make long prayers. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. Did you know most of the teleservice evangelists, all those people, who do you think they prey on for their money? Who do you think the majority, I don't have an exact percentage, but I remember seeing it once, where it was at least, I mean, the ones that go in front of the television, who do you think majority of people sponsor them? Old widows. And I'm not kidding. And they prey on them. Be careful. And it says, and they, for pretense, make long prayers. Be careful when you can make a prayer longer in front of people than you can make a prayer longer on your knees by yourself. Okay? Pharisees like to do prayers in front of people, but they will not do prayers by themselves. If your prayer life is longer on a Sunday than it is all week long, be careful, you're a Pharisee. I am a Pharisee. If that's the... And here's Matthew 23, 13 through 15. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. They recruit, but they do not soul win. We have a big problem with that. I'm going to say this because I went to teens. I can say, let's have a football game, and I could have teens recruit like crazy for a football game. But if I said, let's go get some new people to bring them into the church, I'll probably get one maybe. Try. If we tried a softball league, I bet some of you would go all out and recruit as many people as you could. But when it comes to soul winning, where in the world are you? Okay? That's what a Pharisee is. A Pharisee recruits and goes all over the place to recruit and make a child of hell. But they don't try to get someone saved. But they'll recruit and everything. Be careful. That's what Pharisees do. They're hard of heart. They take counsel with the Herodians. Here's the biggest fault they have. Mark 7:2, it says, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say with unwashed hands, they found fault. Luke 6:7 says, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an occasion against him. Luke 11:54, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. The biggest quality that I notice about Pharisees is they love to find fault. I looked at myself and said, oh God, I am that Pharisee. I'm always trying to find fault with people, and I almost felt like, wow. Because in Luke 7, it talked about them being judgmental of Mary Magdalene. In Luke 11, it talked about how they questioned the disciples' cleanliness because they didn't wash their hands good enough. In Mark 2, it talked about how they questioned why the disciples don't fast. In Mark 9:11, it questioned about eating with publicans. Jesus eating with publicans. And Matthew 9, it talked about how they questioned the miracles of casting out the devils on the Sabbath day and why God had the audacity to do something godly on that day. Luke 6, he questioned them about eating corn on the Sabbath and found fault in that. Matthew 19, they questioned marriage and tried to find fault with Jesus Christ by asking questions of marriage to try to find a fault. Matthew 22, they try to question his taxing to see if they could catch him and say, you don't pay your taxes, because they were trying to find fault. Do you see what I'm saying? Matthew 22, they try to question the greatest commandment. Matthew 27, they question Jesus' resurrection. Write this down. Matthew 27:63. They're the ones that have the sepulchre sure. They sealed the stone and they set a watch. It was the Pharisees that said, if you are going to resurrect, then we are going to seal the stone. We're going to make sure this is sure, and we're going to make sure we have soldiers by it because we are not going to let him resurrect from the dead. They questioned it and said, I know he said he might come again, but we're going to make sure he doesn't because we're going to find fault. I want to make sure that doesn't happen. It wasn't the lawyers. It was the Pharisees that set up the tomb. They are the ones that sealed it. They're the ones that put the soldiers in front. It was the Pharisees. It was not the lawyers. It was not Pontius Pilate. It was the Pharisees. They questioned healing on the Sabbath. They questioned Jesus' kingdom. They questioned John's baptizing. They questioned adultery. They questioned Jesus' divinity. See, the Pharisees just held to traditions. Mark 7:3 through 4. We're almost done. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding to tradition of the elders. What about this phrase? Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but see, our family. I know this is what pastor preaches about dress standards, but our family. That's not what we do in our family. You know what you're holding to? You're holding to the traditions of men and saying, but that's not the way our family does things. well, bless God, you're going to stand before God too, just like I am. And guess what? That won't hold it. It won't hold it. Be careful when you say, well, I disagree with Pastor what he says, because I know that's what the Bible says, but our family just does things different. Do you know what you're saying? You're saying, my family traditions are more important than the Bible. I know he preaches about this, but you understand where you're going? You become a Pharisee. And I have to watch out myself, because I can easily say, well, you know, our family does things better than the church. Well, I can be just as pharisaical. Be careful. Be careful when you agitate from the Bible and say, well, it's just the way our family is, and you just got to take it and love it. Because that's what the Pharisees did. They said, hey, we hold the traditions. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized with him. They were covetousness. They justified themselves before men. It says in Luke 16:14-15, it says, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. How many times do we justify ourselves for what we do and say, well, you know, it's okay because blah, 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 da, 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 and then we go home and we feel okay. You ever get convicted from Pastor Cole's sermon, but the first thing you do is say, but he doesn't understand our family and the circumstances we come around. Do you ever do that? I know I do. You say, I know he's, you got to watch out. The Bible is ideal, isn't it? It wants us to be that way. We have to preach the ideal. Pastor preaches the ideal, and a lot of people get mad because they say, well, you just don't understand because blah, blah, and they justify their lifestyle. When instead, what you become is a Pharisee. Be careful. They're demanding. Their critical spirit in Luke 19:39 says, and some of the Pharisees are among the multitude said, and the master rebuked thy disciples. Can you imagine? Here's, you know, he had 12 disciples at that time. He had 70 other people following him. And here's the Pharisees going up to Jesus saying, hey, you need to rebuke your disciples. Would you really want to do that to Jesus? That's pretty audacity. They probably got right in his face. It said demanding in another verse in one of the synoptic gospels. It says they demanded of Jesus to rebuke his disciples. That means they put their little fingers or however they did and said, Jesus, you better do something about those disciples. Look what they're doing. This is the Sabbath. What do you think you're doing? You don't eat corn. You don't wash your hands like that. You don't heal. You better rebuke them or we will. Bless God, I'm right. But we do that sometimes. We get very critical. And we say, hey, man, let me tell you a thing or two. But they judge after the flesh. John 18:15 says, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. They judge people constantly. They're afraid of losing their positions. They suppress confessing Jesus openly. John 12:42 says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. That would be a fearful thing if you're a Christian and you suppress people from being Christians. Wouldn't that be a fearful thing? Because of your influence, you didn't, you know, for instance, if you're a Christian and someone says, hey, let's pray, and you say, no, let's not pray. You suppress doing Christian things, even though you are a Christian yourself. Be careful, because that's what they did. They suppressed. They wouldn't even let people confess Jesus Christ. Because they said, if you do, we'll kick you out of the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. And they said, but if you confess him, you're out of here. Like they control the church. But really, who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Be very careful. Sad to say, but the biggest, last, there's only two more things and we're finished. John 11:57. It says, now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. John 18:3 said, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. I really don't believe the Pharisees probably really thought they were doing God an injustice. I think they were thinking they were doing a justice to God. What did Paul do before he was saved? He was getting rid of Christians, but what was he doing it for? God. He was a Pharisee. He He was actually doing that for God. He thought he was doing it for God, but was he? Be careful when you think what you're doing, I'm doing it for God, but you're hurting the cause of Christ. You need to search your soul, because there's many things I think I do. And I say, but ah, bless God, I'm doing it for God. You know, I'll kick them out, I'll do what I want. Those guys need to ship out or shape up or ship out. But we're doing it for God. But if we don't watch it, we're hurting the cause of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Pharisees were very good at it. But there is good news. Acts 15:5, one of the last times you hear the word Pharisees in the Bible, it's only in Acts, and after that you don't see them anymore. But I like a phrase in the beginning. Acts 15:5 says, and there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. I think there's hope. Because I was looking through all this and I said, boy, I am that Pharisee. I am that Pharisee. I think there's many times if I don't watch it, I can have a form of religion. I don't even know. Mom, how many? It's got to be probably less than that many times I even missed a church service growing up. I was hardly ever even sick on a Sunday or a Wednesday. You're talking to a man that's born in church. I think I was in church the week after I was born, wasn't I? Before. Yeah, that's true. I was in church before I was born, and as soon as I was born, I was in church. I don't even think I missed a week. Probably was born on a Monday and showed up on church on Sunday. If I don't watch it, I've grown up in church all my life. And I can be very pharisaical because I say, I know how to act. I know how to look. But before I know it, I can be the one finding fault. I can see all these faults in all these people. I could be critical. I can be the one that's making mountains out of molehills. I can be this and I can be that. There's 31 things I gave you that Pharisees do. That's why I didn't want to give out the points. Number 12, number 21. You're like, whoa. But there's 31 of them. Some I ran through very quickly. But I want you to understand is the Bible taught a lot about Pharisees. I think for one reason. Because if we don't watch it, there's a little leaven of Pharisee in every one of us, and if we don't take care of it, what does the leaven do? It's bigger and bigger and bigger. I've seen people leave the church over petty things. Do you know why? They became a Pharisee. They had such a critical spirit that they said, no one in the church is right. They're so much hypocritical. That's it, I'm leaving. What did they become? A Pharisee. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. Be very, very careful. Because it was a very sobering thing. Because when I went through the Bible, I was almost crying at some points because some things I said, that's me. If I don't watch it, because I like taking out people in my van, but I have to watch it because sometimes I can get plain like, will you stop doing that? You're never coming back here again. I want to say it, but I have to stop myself to say, no, I need to be patient. I'm not going to give up on these kids. I'm not going to give up on these kids. I'm not. Because the Pharisees do. They just look at it and say, get thou behind us. You know, that, I'm a Pharisee. Get away from me. Touch my finger. But if you don't watch it, we become higher and mightier than everybody else. I've been in the church for 15 years. I've been a member. Charter member of our church for 23 years since the day that our church was started. I've worked in the choir. I sometimes, pretty much if it wasn't for pastor, it's me that runs the church. I'll tell you, I protect the church. I watch people say that. Some people literally pretty much say that. I protect the church. Any riffraff that comes in our church, I make sure they get out. Because we don't need that riffraff in our church. Who do you think they became? A Pharisee. So let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. It's a very sobering thing. I don't even know how to end it. I was even saying to myself, boy, if I have an invitation, no one's going to go for it because then they'll think, oh, I'm the Pharisee. So I understand how you feel. But I want you to understand, it kills. It really kills. Pharisaical criticism and everything else kills. Now, I'm not saying not to judge. We have right to judge the fruits and judge things within the church, but we have to watch out our critical spirit. We have to watch out just the way we behave, where we become a form and nothing more. Our Christian life consists of going to church, and the form of going to church, going home. Going to church, going home. And we never take God back with us to our homes. We just become a form. We just become a Pharisee. And before we know it, we justify ourselves before men. We become fault finders. We hold to traditions. We love power. We don't do what we say. We hinder people from getting saved. We do all these things. Now, I'm not saying this will happen to everybody, but if we don't watch it, that leaven will destroy anybody. It will destroy me. It will destroy Pastor Cole. And I constantly have to kill it and kill it and kill it and crucify the flesh, because your flesh wants to be a Pharisee. Your flesh wants to be a Pharisee. The devil would like nothing more than you become a Pharisee and just be critical and be fault finders and just, hey, you get make sure you control the chaos in that church. Be careful. Be careful when you're not reaching anybody. Be careful. Be careful that all you care about is the outside. You criticize the preacher. You have him for dinner every single Sunday afternoon. Nitpick every petty little thing he said that was wrong, or what he did, or how he did it, or how he said it. You make burdens. You make sure everybody knows your problems. Make sure everybody knows the burdens that you do, but you won't help anybody out with them. You fast, you look for signs, you only can do something if someone tells you to do it. You love power, praise of men, best rooms, you're proud. But there is hope. Because it says, beware ye, the leaven of the Pharisees. Let's end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, just for being patient with me. I thank you for actually putting up with my idiosyncrasies, my pharisaical thoughts and actions. And dear Lord, forgive me. Help me never to be a hindrance in someone's life of getting saved because of my actions, because of my pharisaical ways. Dear Lord, just help me. Keep me humble. And dear Lord, I think every one of us have leaven in us, and we have to suppress it. Some are very little seen. Others, maybe you can see a lot of it. But I think every one of us have that leaven in us, and we have to beware of it, for it's a killer. It can take over. It can destroy strong. I've seen it destroy churches more than anything. And dear Lord, I pray that you speak to us during this invitation time. I thank you. Everybody stand.